Okay, it's time for Without a Net. Queer theory covers all the warping. And we almost had this one a couple weeks ago, except that then the kitty started to eat the prompt, which I think was a good thing to do. Queer theory is a theory that it starts from the question, how did things become normal? How did the things that are normalized become normal? And that's a wonderful question. How did rent become normal? How did the wage economy become normal? How did we can go through, how did environmental destruction become normal? So they focus mainly on sex. And honestly, queer theory and postmodernism both make me more despairing of the possibility of human sentience than almost any other thing. Because postmodernism comes from the idea that, okay, so Christopher Columbus is great. It comes from this notion that all of our stories have been put through this Western philosophy and this Western arrogance and this Western sort of Eurocentrism, and that males are great and that the European culture is great and conquering the world is great. And it started in the 60s with that understanding that those stories carry a propagandistic narrative. The narratives are propagandistic. And so the question was, how do there's a recognition that having only the Eurocentric stories be valorized, be valued, that leads to, what about all these other questions, all these other narratives that are out there, the indigenous perspective, the indigenous African perspective, the indigenous North American perspective, the perspective of those who were enslaved, all these different perspectives were pretty much ignored. And that's a hugely important observation. But then this culture does what this culture always does and takes a hugely important observation and then resolve it in the stupidest way possible. And with postmodernism, what they did then is they said that since Christopher Columbus was declared a hero, but he actually was a conqueror and really pretty nasty, therefore, all there are stories, and there is no such thing as reality. And that's nuts. And that's what postmodernism does. Similarly, queer theory asks the question, how did certain sexual practices become normalized and certain practices become non-normalized? And then answers by saying, well, all sexual practices must be okay. I mean, it takes the idea that harming homosexuals because of their sexuality is a bad thing. Hating homosexuals is a bad thing. Hating homosexuals for being homosexuals is a bad thing. And then it takes that understanding and says, well, because hatred of homosexuals is bad and because homophobia is bad, therefore all sexual activity is acceptable. And that is just absurd. And what queer theory has done is parasitize off of the struggles of gays and lesbians for social dignity and for social acceptance and for liberation. It's parasitized those into now there are many mainstream queer theorists who promote pedophilia. They rationalize sadomasochism, which is really the eroticization of domination, which is extraordinary to me because they say, queer theorists say that they are against everything that is normal, but actually the eroticization of domination is central to patriarchy. So they should actually be opposed to it if they were in any way internally consistent. So what queer theory actually does is covers all the warpings by which is meant here, by which I understand this to mean that it takes here's the thing, is that somehow we have gotten to the point socially through queer theory that if someone has an orgasm, there can be no social criticism of it. And that's incredibly harmful. Someone having an orgasm does not mean that it is now exempt from social and personal criticism. And queer theory provides cover for all that. Next one. Triumph of image over reality. Triumph of image over reality. We've been going that direction for a long time, and it's not so important. I mean, the environmental movement is really this way, that the image is that if you just call it green, then it's okay. If you say that windmills are okay, if you call them green and sustainable, then that means they are, but they actually aren't. And this is true in every facet of our lives. This culture, you can call yourself a Christian and then you can commit all sorts of atrocities, but you're still good because you are a Christian. You can call yourself a democracy as you invade other countries. You can call yourself, a male can call himself a woman, because he wears what is perceived as the clothing of a woman. This culture is almost exclusively more interested in image than it is in reality, and that is becoming even worse through internet culture and screen culture, which are by definition flat. So I knew this woman whose sister was married to a fellow, and this is back in the 90s, so this is sort of even before internet porn took over everything. And one of the stories that I learned about her and her about her sister and her sister's husband was that they would each sit in the opposite corner of their bedroom on the computer. I guess the term now is sexting, typing sex-based emails to other people. And this struck me as just extraordinary on a bunch of levels. One of them is that they were typing with one hand and masturbating with the other. I mean, let's just drop off the fact that they're married. Let's drop off the whole notion of fidelity or infidelity. Let's ignore that completely. And they were sitting, typing with one hand and masturbating with the other in the same room with an actual human being with whom they presumably could have been having actual sex. This is the triumph of image over reality. This is what all of pornography is. One of my favorite chapters that I've written is in the culture of make-believe, where I talk about how no matter how much, there's a chapter called Seeing Things about pornography. And I say, no matter how much you may wish, you may fantasize that you were just having this wonderful, delightful conversation about what it will take to knock out the infrastructure of Las Vegas with someone of your preferred sex who is just delightful, and then you can have this wonderful lovemaking. What you're really doing is sitting in a chair staring at a computer screen, masturbating, listening to music or something. And that's true. It's like we can tell the story of Goldilocks, but where are the real bears? And we can tell, you know, a few years ago for E.O. Wilson's 80th birthday, and E.O. Wilson has done some really great work in defense of the natural world. I'm not complaining about him, but he said for his 80th birthday, this is a big deal on NPR or wherever, that what he wanted was for people to make, and I got to that point, it's like, yes, I want for them to make, you know, species not go extinct, but what he said is he wanted to make a catalog of all species. I was like, what's the point of a catalog? What we really want are the real species. And it is so easy when we are faced with screens all day, every day, to forget what is real. And this culture is based on, from top to bottom, inside to out, fractally, is based on the preference for the image over reality. And we'll do one more. A societal DNR, do not resuscitate. I think that in some ways this may be the most important of these little pieces of paper I've gotten, that we, you know, so many of the bright greens and climate activists have said that what they're doing is they are attempting to make all these social changes not to preserve the natural world, but instead to preserve this culture. You know, Bill McKibben will say over and over and over that he is attempting to save civilization. Lester Brown has been saying that he's trying to save civilization. And the former director of International Greenpeace would say all the time, the earth doesn't need saving. What needs saving is this culture. And I believe that that is how the world will end, is that this culture will continue to attempt to keep itself on life support until there's nothing left of the world. This culture will destroy every bit of the world in order to keep itself going for just a little bit longer. And I am known for saying that the world is more important than this culture. Imagine saying such a silly thing. And I am known for wanting to actually bring down this culture, because I want for, I mean, all of my analysis, my entire analysis is based on the understanding that this culture is harming the planet, and this culture will not last forever. And when it's over, I would prefer for there to be more of the real world left than less. That's it. That's my entire analysis in one little snippet. And that's why I say that, you know, the sooner it can be brought down, the more life is left. But there's also, if people don't want to do that, the very least we should do is put a big fat do not resuscitate sign onto this culture. And as this culture goes into its thrashing endgame, as I've said, that we should not resuscitate the culture. We should, at the very, very least, and what I really want to do is put the culture down because it's killing everything. But at the very, very least, we should not resuscitate this culture when it does go down.